Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 Gut Superhero Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/sober. Tossing and turning all night like a salad? It's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. You've probably heard the acronym HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. These are all triggers for relapse because they influence our ability to think things through and wait. These feelings make us impulsive, overwhelmed, and more likely to go for instant gratification choices like drinking, even when we know we want to be sober. In this episode, I'm explaining why these four conditions are so triggering. So let's dig in. Welcome back to the Sober Powered Podcast. I'm your host, Jill, and today we are talking about HALT and why these four conditions are so triggering for us. So the first one is hungry. Hunger puts stress on the body, but early sobriety makes you hungrier too. And this isn't just sugar cravings. You may just be extra hungry when you quit drinking. A 2011 study published in Addiction Biology looked at ghrelin levels, our hunger hormone, in people getting treatment for addiction over a 12-week period. Half of the group stayed sober and the other half didn't. And when they compared the two groups, they found that baseline ghrelin levels were higher in the group that drank. Baseline levels mean how hungry you are on average, and this predicted who ended up drinking during the study. Ghrelin levels for the drinking group dropped throughout the study, and ghrelin levels increased for the sober group for the first 3 months and then started dropping in the last month. So we may have an initial increase in hunger when we first get sober. Hunger puts stress on the body, and we're used to dealing with stress with a drink. Hunger also makes us cranky, which we're also used to dealing with a drink. When you're hungry, you're supposed to eat to survive. So the brain wants to motivate you to do this. So the brain starts releasing dopamine to motivate you to seek out food, to search for it. And what else does dopamine motivate us to seek out? Alcohol. And usually we would choose a drink over a snack anyway, so it's easy to confuse hunger for alcohol cravings. And if you want to learn more, I explained how hunger influences our drinking in episode 192. The next part of HALT is angry. And this is my favorite, obviously. Anger is a very overwhelming emotion, and it gives us great excuses to drink because it's other people's faults and not ours. If only they weren't such a jerk. Or if only our job didn't suck so much. Then we wouldn't have to drink. Not our fault at all. A 2007 study found that people who relapse had higher levels of anger and poor anger expression. And high anger predicted less sober days. People that have high levels of anger felt like they were being treated unfairly, and they experienced a lot of frustration, which led to more drinking. It's really important to manage feelings like anger when you quit drinking, or it's going to increase your likelihood of relapse. If this is you, then join the next round of my anger management program this summer. We have a lot of fun in there. People that are prone to anger will typically have a low tolerance for frustration. So then they use impulsive behaviors to try to regulate their emotions because they struggle with things that take more time, like any coping strategy that's actually good for us. And a 2019 study found that wall punching was strongly associated with a feeling of relief afterwards, and that this relief is the most common reason people give for punching walls. Drinking also gives us a feeling of relief, and this is because our emotions are too big and we don't have the tools to understand them or cope with them. So an emotion becomes too big when we stuff it, avoid it, and let it build up. And also really important, just because wall punching and drinking gives you relief doesn't mean that it's an effective solution. Studies have actually found that punching walls or pillows makes you even more angry. And same with drinking. The anger goes away briefly, but then it comes back really strong at the end of the night. It's a temporary relief of frustration and overwhelm, but it's not real relief. Real relief comes from solving our problems and knowing how to reframe and take care of ourselves. When I really, truly accepted I can't drink anymore, the only urges to drink that I ever had in sobriety were from intense anger. There's a really uncomfortable triggering thought that's behind anger, and this is what causes the urge to drink or escape. So for me, it's something like, I'm stupid, I'm worthless, I'll never be good enough, nobody likes me. And learning to identify these triggering thoughts is the first step to managing them. Make sure to check out episodes 186 and 199 for more on anger and frustration tolerance. The third part of HALT is lonely. Loneliness is an emotional state where we perceive a deficiency in either the quality or the quantity of our relationships. And this is a real problem. Loneliness in young adults ages 18 to 29 has increased linearly between 1976 and 2019. So every year we're getting lonelier and lonelier. And nearly 80% of Gen Z reported feeling lonely in a 2021 survey by Cigna. So here are some results from Cigna's State of Loneliness study in 2021. People of color are more likely to be lonely and score at least 10 points higher than the total adult population. People with lower incomes are also lonelier. About 63% of people that earn less than 50K are lonely, which is 10 points higher than people that earn above 50K. Young adults are twice as likely to be lonely as older adults. 79% of adults 18 to 24 report feeling lonely compared to 41% of adults 66 and up. 42% of people that are 18 to 34 say that they always feel left out compared to 16% of people 55 and up. There was not a big difference in loneliness between men and women. However, mothers are more likely to be lonely than fathers. 69% of moms say they feel lonely compared to 62% of dads. This is especially true for single parents. 77% of single parents say that they're lonely. 65% of parents say that they're lonely. And 55% of non-parents say that they're lonely. Adults that feel lonely are less likely to talk about their feelings and get support from others. Only 34% of lonely adults say that they talk to their family or partner about how they feel, compared to 68% of non-lonely people. And this may also be part of the loneliness that they're feeling. There's a correlation between being lonely and having fair or poor physical or mental health. Adults that have physical health issues are 50% more likely to be lonely, and adults with mental health issues are more than twice as likely to be lonely. Of all the adults out there, 1 in 4 are classified as having fair or poor mental health, and of those, 85% of them are lonely. 3 times as many lonely people struggle with substance use disorder compared to non-lonely people, and 2x as many lonely people struggle with sleep disorders compared to non-lonely people. Loneliness as an adult has an impact on our drinking because we can use alcohol to instantly feel connected to people that we don't know well, or we can use alcohol when we're alone to escape the loneliness. But if you've ever partied by yourself, then you may know that when you get super drunk, the loneliness comes on really intensely. And this is why so many drunk people end up in sober Facebook groups posting, because they feel desperate for connection. This is also why we drunk text, drunk post, and send people selfies. We are so painfully lonely in our drunk state that we are reaching out for connection in all the ways that we can. Loneliness may be because you don't actually have strong connections or support, but sometimes we feel lonely because of our perception. Struggling with mental health, destructive thinking, like all or nothing thinking, and our perception of our own life all influence whether or not we feel lonely. If you're struggling with loneliness and it makes you want to drink, then try to find connection. Then maybe start out with an online sober community or an in-person AA meeting. Every time you think that drinking will help your loneliness, try to remember how desperate we get for connection at the end of the night. That's not a good feeling, and it's really, really sad. I wasn't super lonely when I started drinking, but getting drunk by myself made me feel how alone I really was. I was isolating myself with my drinking, and that made me even lonelier. So instead, you should join our bird watching group in my community. You could take a writing class, take a bread making class, or join a community for whatever hobby you're into, and try to give people a chance before making assumptions. There are so many different ways to get connected, so try something today. The last component of HALT is tired. So brain fog is a lay term that we use to describe cognitive difficulties. And I want to specify that because I don't think that we make the connection between foggy thinking and our brain not being able to work well. One of the main causes is chronic inflammation of the brain, which, by the way, alcohol causes. Inflammation of the brain slows down our perception, processing speed, learning, ability to store information and memory, and our decision-making. And if that's not bad enough, brain fog will often come with extreme fatigue and feeling overwhelmed. So you feel awful, you can't think clearly, and you're less capable of using your brain and making a good decision. This makes it so much easier to drink again. I had exhaustion when I quit drinking, but not brain fog. But I've had the vid twice, and I got really bad brain fog both times, so it gave me a real appreciation for what some people struggle with when they try to quit drinking. But just know that the brain fog's going to pass. If you drink to relieve it, you've now started back at the beginning, and now you have to go through the whole thing again. So it will pass if you let yourself go through it. Another major issue in early sobriety that so many people complain about is fatigue and exhaustion. A lot of us drink after work to get more energy, or we drink on the weekend to have energy to clean. It can be hard and demotivating to feel exhausted all the time, and this can continue on and off for months as your brain heals. So alcohol does actually provide the brain with energy. When the liver processes alcohol, it eventually converts it into acetate, which is not toxic. Most of the acetate is then released back in circulation and enters the brain very quickly. So chronic heavy drinkers have elevated acetate levels for 24 to 48 hours after their last drink. So if you drink often, then you have a lot of acetate in your brain. So what happens is acetate can be utilized as an energy source instead of glucose. And heavy drinking will actually decrease the brain's use of glucose for fuel. A 2013 study published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation found that heavy drinkers had more than double the levels of acetate in their brains as light drinkers 48 hours after their last drink. And heavy drinking for the study was 8 drinks a week or more. And the light drinkers had a maximum of 2 drinks a week. So imagine how much acetate we had in our brains. 8 drinks could be consumed in one day for a serious drinker. And this loops back around. High levels of acetate cause inflammation in the brain, which then fuels brain fog when you try to stop. And even worse, when you try to stop, your brain has adapted to run on acetate for fuel. So you're now depriving it of a major energy source. And this is why you feel exhausted when you first quit drinking. And it takes time for your brain to relearn how to utilize glucose for fuel again. Plus, we beat the crap out of our bodies when we're drinking. Your body needs to heal. So you're also tired just from that. So based on what I've seen in the Living a Sober Powered Life community, people will generally stop complaining about fatigue when they're around 2 months sober. Doesn't mean it's gone forever, it just means the worst has passed. So I have episodes about physical, cognitive, and emotional improvements in sobriety, but there are a lot of physical improvements in the first 30 days, cognitive improvements in 60 days, and emotional improvements in 90 days. This doesn't mean that you're cured after 90 days. It just means that a lot of healing has happened at that point. You can learn more about brain fog and fatigue in episode 157 and learn 5 ways to boost your energy in episode 175. So I'll list all these in the show notes for you. And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate if you could share it with someone and help me spread the word so that we can get this information in front of more people who really need to know it so they can quit drinking and stop blaming themselves for it. And thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.
It's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.